Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness, live broadcast here on a Thursday night, the 3rd of February, 2011. Glad to be with you. Mubarak says that if he resigns now, that massive chaos, well, I already thought massive chaos was going on, Cairo, all across Egypt, but he claims that massive chaos will occur if he resigns now. Well, let's think in terms of the Red Horse. Everybody's been watching in the last 5 days, and nobody a year ago predicted this to happen. This is the kind of underpinning that is all over the world right now. Who would predict in the revelation of God, Book of Revelation chapter 6, the Red Horse? Now, the Red Horse is just simply an easy way of remembering a prophetic revelation of God, the prophecy given in pictorial form, in which there is a description of peace being taken from the earth, the entire earth, the globe, the world. Now, we're talking about Cairo, we're talking about Egypt, watching news today, that the entire nation is basically at a halt. Economics, jobs, work, food, transportation, internet, everything. Millions now involved and the world involved. What about when that occurs in many nations of the world? What about all the nations? What about the Red Horse and its predictions in the near future of peace being taken from the earth? And literally, what you see there in Cairo is only a glimpse. In Paris, in Berlin, in London, well, in Dallas and New York and Cleveland and Los Angeles, in Beijing, in Moscow, all across the world, what's being suppressed or resisted right now, well, listen, that that resistance will be removed and literally all hell. And if you read the prophetic revelation of the Red Horse, there is a butchery coming, the likes, well, the Egyptians, Stalin, Hitler, and on and on and on have never seen. We're talking about off-the-scale events that are coming, and many of you and I feel it in the air, and we know that it's just behind the curtain. Listen again, this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to all those listening by internet all over the world and by satellite. We want to welcome you to this live broadcast. Want to say also that we always have the archives, both by the radio station and our website, and we're noticing again all over the world, and specifically in the last couple of days, since we have put up on the Preemption broadcast site, the one of the series we're doing on the Roman Catholic, well, the infiltration of the Roman Catholic system, dealing with exorcism, the rite, and, well, a super force, a black flame, you can call it what you want, deeply entrenched. And there are priests and there are many other Catholics that not only declare they know that it's there, that it's occurring, even popes have mentioned the smoke of Satan. Now, that will play a part of the end of days. That will play a part of the white horse, the spirit of Antichrist, the entire regime of Antichrist, the apocalypse of Antichrist, all that the white horse demonstrates in a Antichrist conquest, a masqueraded conquest of the world. But with that presence comes on its heels, inseparably, and because of that presence, a chaos of the world, well, it'll go down in history. It's in future history, and it's not futurologists, it's not the psychics, it's definitely not Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce that is given the infallible, specific, the detailed prophecies of what's to come. So for all those looking at Mubarak and looking at Cairo and looking at what's occurring there, for the journalists being hit in the head, don't forget that in this crowd there are those that are raping women, beating and killing others, targeting believers in Christ and going to get them and drag them out. So watch what occurs in the midst of all of this and who's fighting for control. Bottom line, ultimately, there's a reason why prophetically in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is one coming that will rule with a, well, iron scepter. The concept of total sovereign control. The Prince of Peace brings that as he returns, and there is no war, there is no violence, there are no dictators suppressing people, there are no Muslim Brotherhood, and there will be no Hamas, there's no underground CIA, there's no shadow government in those days to come. So listen, you better make it right now with God. That's the ultimate one you are going to have to make. Well, you can read it yourself. Let me say to all those that do the recon that listen in, government and other and every otherwise Satanists, and the Luciferians, I mean the real ones that have infiltrated and are in the Vatican area in the city. Hope to be there sometime to look you up. But I want you to know that the Word of God, again, Jesus used the Word of God as supreme authority. Jesus quoted it, used it, fulfilled it, spoke it, and gave it to us. All of the New Testament is a pouring out of the Spirit of God's language. It is now grapha. It is now Scripture. And as I said yesterday, it is alive. It is active. God is in His book and on His book and uses His book. He's the one that, well, authors the book. And it's the only book whose author is in, on, and with that book at all times. Open it up. God is speaking. Learn some of it. Have it in your heart. In the midst of circumstances of life, God can bring to you and remind you. Can't get saved without it. Can't grow without it. Can't know the future without it. Can't see the wonders of God without it. So we're talking about this incredible revelation of God. And we're hoping that you've been studying it, that you've been looking at it, that you've been reading it. We're looking at the Shatter the Darkness website right now, and we're saying welcome on Thursday, the 3rd of February. During the week, if you're new to this broadcast, we have a theme for every week. It looks like next week we're going to deal with the drug lords, Santi Muerte. We're going to look at the spiritism, the demonic, and the presence of the demonic involved in the drug trade. We're going to take a look into Mexico, and we're going to look at the violence. We're going to pray that providentially that God will lead us and guide us to speak into that area. We know there are those that listen. There are those that have contacted us. There are missionaries that have written us. There are others that have seen town to town the violence and the demonic worship, the use of Santi Muerte in seeking spiritual help to advance the drug cause. More have died there than in the combined war, well, if you think in terms of Americans. Grave, grave violence by the thousands. And it's almost... There's almost no outrage except for those that live down there on the border. Now, there are those that have written me today about their children in close proximity, and they have great worry. We're praying with them concerning protection and the safe return of your children. Always in prayer for you. Listen, tonight we also are going to tell you that we're going to talk about the prophetic combination of drug and spirits, both past and present right now, the New Age movement, the 2012 movement, the Mayan temple and shaman, the evolution of all of that there, and even in the so-called scientific research. And then we're going to look at the prophetic when drugs become a major, major doorway for the Luciferic agenda. Now, we don't say that lightly. We really mean that because the masquerade will be so broad. The spirits will say whatever they want. We're aliens. We're your aunts and uncles. We're your ancient masters. We are your spirit guides. We are on and on and on and on. No doubt that's what they've done in the days of Moloch, Baal, and Nebo and the rest. No doubt that's what they've done. Quetzalcoatl, Kukulkan, and all around the world. The Great White Brotherhood over Tibet. It's a wonder where this presence manifests itself. There's always a corresponding doorway on the ground. Just as the Prince of Persia over the Babylonian kingdom and Persian kingdom and on down that road, just as that presence was highly controlling and powerful and manifest over that region, well, there was 56 different temples worshiping the gods and goddesses, the demons connected. That region still has, listen, Egypt, listen, Israel, listen, Iraq, listen, Iran, listen, Kuwait, listen, Syria. The Prince of Persia hasn't gone anywhere. In the fields of the Nephilim and the worship of the ancient gods and goddesses, they haven't died. They're always looking for a new door. We dealt with that a week ago in the 2012 Mayan connection. Now, we are going to jump in again tonight concerning the Roman Catholic, not just the rite of exorcism, but the exchanging of the pure truth of God for, excuse me, ceremonial ritual, ceremonial religious, mysticism that seems good, but lacks reality, lacks the power, lacks the truth. And listen, we want you tonight to have God's word and the Spirit of God to give you discernment where you stand. Now, I know there's probably many Roman Catholics listening and will listen to the archives. I've gotten a number of emails. Nobody really mad yet. Because I could say the same thing concerning the Episcopal Church here in the United States. Bishop Robinson, the practicing homosexual. Well, listen, it's very clear that is not the Church of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with biblical revelation, the ecclesia of God, the body of Christ, and everything that literally is hypocrisy and on the edge of blasphemy, and yet still claiming heaven. Now, they did that in the Old Testament. With their mouths, they claimed heaven, God. They claimed it all. But by their lifestyles, it was a denial. And that's what goes on even to this day. As you're listening right now, it's really our duty to check ourselves and where we stand. Are we religious in a traditional mystical system? Are we religious? Are we churchgoers? Are we? But the question is, are you born of the Spirit of God? Does the living Christ dwell in you? Do you have the gift of eternal life? Do you understand that is the key of the cross of Christ and what God's heart and desire is all about? When God in human flesh was outside of Jerusalem, and there he cried out, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem," how often? See, he wanted them. He wanted relationship. He wanted to save them. He wanted to redeem them. He wanted to come and change their lives and give them the gift of eternal life. But there, in their religious traditions, in their exchange of the glory of God for lie, in their exchange of the truth of God for the lie, it is very clear, it has happened in the Old Testament, it has happened in the New, it was occurring when Jesus was there. Prophecy says that will occur in the end of days. It is absolutely clear that mankind can even take scripture, can take the gleanings of Christendom and lay claim to things, form religion, and that it actually has nothing to do with the truth of God. In Jesus' day, and I'm going to ask you to study it, John's Gospel, chapters 4, 5, and 6, and 7. Great invitation there in chapter 7. There you're going to see Jesus encountering the top religious people of the day in religious robes and garb and ceremony, a lot of religious symbolism, and everything you can do on a physical level that looked religious, sounded religious, and was religious based on the traditions of men. The Spirit of God later says in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10, that they did not submit to God's righteousness, his grace, but they formed their own way. They formed their own religion. They formed their own. Anybody in all the cults do this, can take bits and pieces of scripture and then create something. Now, this is why it's vital that we study Scripture systematically and realize the goal, the telos of Scripture. Anybody reading the Gospel of John towards the end, you're going to find out that the entire book was written. The reason for the writing of the Gospel of John is what? That you might be able to read what is written and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. That's why it's as if the Gospel of John is a massive, major gospel tract. And it's used evangelistically, and literally hundreds of millions have gotten saved around the world in these last 2,000 years in the reading of the Gospel of John. So if you're a seeker, if you're someone that says, well, you know what, I'm Episcopal, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Roman Catholic, or I'm a priest, but I don't have what Russ is talking about. I don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I don't know if I have the gift of eternal life. I see that God is out there somewhere. I feel a mysterious sense of God. I'm in all the accoutrements. I'm in a church building. There's art. There's symbolism. I can hold a Bible in my hand. Listen, when I was in Buddhism, I had a Bible. I believed the Bible, but I didn't read it. I didn't know what it said. I believed there was God, but I had no idea how to get there. Until someone shared the clarity of the gospel about God desiring us on a personal level. God desiring to break into our lives on a personal level. We're the ones that are lost. We're the ones that have sinned. We're the ones that are dying. We're the ones that are hellbound. Without the fix, what are you going to do? Without the redemption that God brings, what are you going to do? In the end, charged Reiki stones aren't going to save you. Channelers aren't going to help you. Reincarnation's never going to occur. And sitting in a billion-dollar cathedral has nothing to do with salvation. Now, I don't care about buildings, whether they're great, incredible. There are some that are astounding buildings and artwork and architecture all over the world. But I want you to hear me clearly. When we come back to the Word of God, when we look up the Greek word ekklesia, or the word church in the Bible, used about 95 to 97 times in the New Testament, not once is it in reference to a building. Not even once. Not even the seven churches of Revelation, the church of Sardis, the church in Ephesus, the church of Thyatira, the churches in Galatia, the church that meets in so-and-so's house. You can read again and again and again. Ekklesia is the called out ones. It is in reference to those born of the Spirit of God, by means of the Spirit of God, baptized into the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about water baptism. Let me say very clearly also, water baptism, in the Catholic understanding, Episcopal, so forth, it does not save you. Look at the book of Acts. Here's the first 30-year history of the church. Here are the apostles, the disciples that walked with Christ, becoming apostles, becoming the Spirit-guided scripture writers, becoming the foundation of establishing churches and building ministry and seeing the ordination of elders and the placement of deacons and pastors and so forth and so forth. Now listen, they're the ones that continue to use the Word of God as Jesus did. Continue to lay the foundations based on the Word of God as instructed. And as the Spirit of God guided them, led them, laid incredible, clear foundations for what God is all about, what His mission is all about, what salvation is, consistent, clear, what the future holds, and what the church, as Christ Himself initiates it, builds it, oversees it, heads it, and is coming for it, what it's all about. If you read in Thessalonians chapter 4 in the return of Christ, please understand that not one building will be translated from earth to heaven. When the great catching up, call it in Latin rapture if you want, the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is the first resurrection. You miss this one, and you will end up in the second, and the second death, and at the great white throne judgment. You see, either you will be in the first resurrection, and then at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, the scrutiny seat, seat of Christ, that has nothing to do with your salvation, but Christians, how you lived. That's right, rewards, how you lived as a believer. Has your life led others to Christ? Has your life glorified God? Has your life been a part of the great mission? I would think it a great shame that any believer barely, as it says, get in by the skin of your teeth. Now, all of us are glorified based on Christ and the justification, not sanctification. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is based on what Christ did and applied to you, not your works. Now, works are evidences. Works are the clear fruit. Works are the clear proof. Works are what God has designed. You can't really tell if a person's a real believer if the Christ-like works and the works that God has set out for us are not done. Now, you could read in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. That is clear. For every Roman Catholic to hear that, it's not a works. Sacraments don't save you. The church doesn't save you. And baptism doesn't save you. The church didn't die on the cross. Sacraments are a declaration of the blood and the body of Christ. Baptism is a declaration for those who have already been saved. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter, well, all the chapters, 30-year history, nobody got baptized until they got saved. Not one infant was ever baptized. And those baptisms, my friend, were by immersion. Baptism occurred after being saved, after being born again. Taking communion occurs after being saved, after being born again. Being part of the body of Christ in a local sense occurs clearly after being saved and after being born again. So the question is whether or not you or I, regardless of our background, regardless, listen, it is possible to be layered with religious stuff. It is possible to have robes on, to wear clothing, hats, symbolism, wear a cross, and be lost as any other lost individual in all the world. Do not let religious tradition fool you. Do not let religious tradition be exchanged for the reality of knowing God in Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. Do not let loyalty to religious tradition that has nothing to do with Christ, the Word of God, no matter how much it sounds good, no matter how much emotional connection there is. See, some people, that's all they have. They only have a mystical, emotional connection because of outward religious garb. There are so many Catholics, and I'm going to tell you after 35 years, and most of who I quoted, most of who I read all this week are Catholics. Everyone that has written on the subject are Catholics. Those downloading in Rome, no doubt, are Catholics. So, when I am sharing this with you, you've got to understand my heart. Slander and malice are never from God. That's why I don't want to be involved in that. But speaking the truth in love, seeking to bring an erring believer. Look at James chapter 5, the last two verses. Look at the rest of the New Testament, if you've ever heard of polemics about straightening things out within the body of Christ. As Jesus spoke to church by church by church in the book of Revelation, he didn't speak simply to a string or denomination. He spoke to individual churches. Once again, if you will do the study, if you will circle or look up in a concordance the word church and how it is used in the New Testament, look at approximately 95 times. About 93, 94, it's primarily about the local church, its responsibility, and if it is a local church, it has to be involved in the Great Commission. There has to be baptism and communion, the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, prayer, worship, and the life of fellowship going on. It is possible, like Sardis, that local churches have become dead. There are indicators for what a dead church is there when it talks about the Church of Sardis. It is also very clear with the Church of Laodicea when churches completely go blind and become religious and mystical and self-appointing, self-exalting. See, the Church of Laodicea, they thought they were rich. They thought they were well off. They thought they were good. It is possible to be religious, have the titles and the names and Christian veneer. It is possible to have all of that and yet have Jesus come and engage and say, instead, you are poor, you are blind, you are pitiful, you are naked. As a matter of fact, Jesus deals with the Church of Laodicea, explaining to them that he's on the outside knocking. They're going on with church. He's not even there among them. They're going on with activities. He's not blessing their works, their tradition, their direction. God blesses his word, his works, his mission done his way. That's what the book of Acts spells out. In the book of Acts, in 30 years, for those who love revival, they never prayed for revival. I'm talking about the active church. The church in mission. The church where Christ is alive. The church where the Spirit of God is evident. The church where people get saved, healed, delivered, and even God's miracles are shown. And the blessing of God. And spiritual warfare and persecution too, yes. But if you look at the book of Acts again and again and again and again, and evaluate your local church, evaluate the Roman Catholic system, you're going to see a vast difference. Now, I'm going to go over five things. Popes, priests, well, the members, the victims, and those who investigate. Just before I do, let me mention these things. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net this week, we're dealing with on Thursday night. We're going to continue on this infiltration subversion, but not just by Luciferians. And what about the new declarations coming out from the Vatican on extraterrestrials, the concept of disclosure, Catholic priests? I'm going to tell you right now, I have met through my years of ministry Catholic priests who did not know Christ. Catholics who did not know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you some people I've met that, well, they were raised in a Baptist church or an Episcopal or Anglican or Lutheran, and they weren't in any kind of church. And there are a lot of people that say they're Catholic. My dad claimed to be a Catholic and never once entered a Catholic church. Only because his father, out of Yugoslavia, was a Catholic altar boy. My dad not only did not know Christ, he had an arrogant rejection of the reality of Christ and a somewhat emotional bonding, an emotional connection to my grandfather, his father's past Roman Catholic participation as an altar boy. He didn't know anything about doctrine. He didn't know anything about being born of the Spirit of God. He didn't know anything, literally, until he was 70 years old when I asked him, "You've never even heard a verse of Scripture, Dad. Let me read now, finally, after 23 years of working with him, flying to California, seeing him 40, 50 times, I don't even remember. Let me read one verse of Scripture." Finally, he let me. and then another, and then another. You ever read Romans chapter 10, folks? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As a matter of fact, in the context, how can anyone believe on whom they've not heard? And we're talking about the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Not because you attend a church, not because you've been baptized, not because you've taken communion, not because you've gone to a confessional. Just confessing your sins to try to get off guilt doesn't save you. Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only one that died for you, the only sin bearer of the world. It was John the Baptist that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Do you know what salvation is? Read the entire New Testament. Read the 30-year history of the early church in the book of Acts. Not once does the church save anyone. Not once does baptism save anyone or communion save anyone. It is Christ and Christ alone on the cross, sinless, dying in your place, in my place. His death, his resurrection, prophesied all through the New Old Testament into the New. Well, here is the Savior, my friend. Here is the one that loves you. Here is the one that's come for you. As he himself said, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." But I will read to you again Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus speaking to those wearing robes, quoting scripture, walking around as the known religious people in the towns, Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus Christ says to them, "Thus you nullify the word of God." That is, you put to no effect. You drowned out the clear power of the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. It is very clear from that revelation and from those words and Jesus' encounter with religious individuals that you can build your own religious tradition and it have nothing to do with salvation. Nothing to do with relationship to God, and nothing to do with faithful witness to God's grace, God's love, and the simplicity of salvation in Christ. As a matter of fact, tradition, because there's no reality, because someone in religious tradition who does not have the Spirit of God in them, who is not born of the Spirit of God, they have no testimony to that salvation. They rely on outside, traditional, and mystical, man-made religious accoutrements, objects, and even man-made teachings. Somehow they hang on to those for their salvation, though knowing they're not saved, knowing they do not have the Spirit of Christ. May I ask the priest, may I ask the Catholic member, may I ask those monitoring and listening throughout the Catholic system, have you read Romans chapter 8? Notice Romans chapter 8 has nothing to do with being a part of the church, though I believe in being a local member. Though I go every Sunday, though I go as a participant, though I go prayed up to worship, to pray, to fellowship, to hear the word of God, to be a part, to give, to see missions around the world. Well, I'm a part of the local body. But I understand the body of Christ worldwide. I understand the word ecclesia, church, very well. And I understand that the word of God gives the definition, the defining, the origin, the mission, the work, the, well, even the destiny of the church. In Thessalonians 4, when Christ returns, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice what it says. The dead in Christ. Those who've been born again. Those who've been given the gift of eternal life. Those who've accepted directly Christ into their lives. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, that is, believers, born of the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God in the twinkling of the eye, In a flash, the mortal will put on immortality. Are you going to be there? What do you rely on that gives you the confidence, the joy, the Holy Spirit's witness within? Do you have the Spirit of God's witness inside of you? I don't care how long you've been a priest. I don't care how long you've been in the Catholic system. I don't care if you've been an Episcopal all your life. Are you born of the Spirit of God? The words of Christ supersede the sum total of popes, church fathers, theologians, all the way down to this day. I've got a few thousand theology books over here, including Catholic theology. I love reading all of it and studying everything, but the Word of God is the grid in relationship to Jesus Christ. See, I come to you not because of a mysterious connection to God, not because I trust the church to save me, or in taking communion that it maintains or gives salvation. It doesn't. It never declares that in the New Testament. And that is the authority. That is the Word of God. It judges all the other writings, church fathers, theologians, those who write the commentaries. All around me, there may be 10,000 books. I love to read and study, and I still do this day. Matter of fact, I've got books here that I'm biting at the chomp to get to, but time is another issue. And now that we got Kindle, I've got about 100 books on Kindle. Everywhere I go, I can just pop up a book and begin to read. But here's the reality. Knowing Jesus, I know him. He entered into my life about 36 years ago. I was not raised as a believer. I was raised Methodist mother, didn't go to church. Catholic father, never been to a Catholic church. Oh, there were pictures of Jesus, crucifixes around. It all reminded me of religious things. It all gave me an awareness of God, but I didn't know God. Growing up as a teenager, trying to read bits and pieces of Scripture was hard. I wasn't a believer. I didn't have the Spirit of God inside. My eyes and heart were not open to the Word. So I got into occult stuff. I got into any kind of spiritual thing I could. Because I did not have the reality of the living God, the living Christ, the love of God, the grace of God, I was open to the alternatives. I was open to what, and I didn't know it at the time, the dark side was offering masqueraded. Oh, it was wrapped, all right. Yeah, I got into, and it was called Golden Buddha for a lot of years, even at a temple. Trying to get to the Ascended Masters. Oh, I had spiritual experiences, incredible encounters, reading materials, out of them, all kinds of things. But one night at a party, not in a church building, just like the Book of Acts, almost everybody that got saved, as we see in the Book of Acts, got saved on the field. That's why we're commanded to go out into the world, to the highways and to the byways. That's why I'm here with you. That's why, for some reason, by God's providential hand, dear ones like you, even those that download and listen later, we're getting to speak to folks by the providence of God, by the hand of God in 90 countries of the world. To those of you, dear ones in China, to those of you in Russia. Listen, we've had folks download in Egypt, Israel, United Arab Emirates, all over the world. While there is time, we'll continue this. While there's the open door, we will speak. You know what? It's like in the Book of Acts, we can't help it. We cannot help witness to what God has done, Christ in me, the Spirit of God, and walking with God for 36 years, knowing him, fellowshipping with him, growing. Tons of stories, getting to see thousands to come to Christ over the years, and even lately, individuals from other nations hearing the broadcasts accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me say to those in Rome, in the Vatican, in all of Italy, all of Europe, everywhere listening right now, that my approach is very clear, John 3:16, John 3:17. God so loved you, the world so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. His monogenesis, that is an incredible revelation of God in human flesh, Christ. No one like him. So that we might not perish while believing we might have eternal life. Do you want that? Do you sit by the internet radio or your satellite radio knowing whether or not you're saved? I can come with conspiracy. I can come and talk about the Antichrist and transhumanism and Nephilim and black holes and dark energy and quantum theory. None of those things will save you, though they're needed to be discussed. What I have the delight in this day is to tell you that Jesus, the Savior of the world, God in human flesh, he loves you. Whether you're a Satanist, a Druid, a Wiccan, Santeria, Palamaombi, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, New Ager, 2012er, whether you're CIA, whether you're military, government, doesn't make any difference, man or woman, here is the sheer truth. God loves you. He knows you. God has come for you. God has come to the cross to deal with your sin, the sin code in you, the death code in you, the issue of Satan's rights over you, your lostness, your separation from God, and in that state, without redemption, you will go to hell. I don't care if you say, I don't believe there is a hell. Stay that way in arrogance. That tells me that you declare God is a liar. Christ is a liar. The Word of God is a liar. Do you really want to set yourself up higher than the authority of Scripture? The authority of Christ. Why did he die on that cross? Why John 3:16? You know what perishing is all about? You can read about that again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They, maybe you, perish because you refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Luciferian, are you listening? Do you realize deep down into the Catholic system, the perpetrators listening, those that are part of that super force, lodge worldwide, it makes no difference that you dwell in satanic-laced supernatural secrecy, committing your crimes as if it will go undealt with. The Word of God clearly says again, Hebrews chapter 4, that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let me mention these things as I read this week and as I've done over the years, and this is not just a glib, engagement with Roman Catholicism because of the film that came out and the films prior and the issue of exorcism and the rise of dark spirits worldwide, it is very clear that the exorcism and even the current Roman Catholic I have no need of it. I've engaged hundreds of deliverance, you can call it exorcism if you want, cases. Oh, I've heard the spirits, we're deeply familiar with their yelling, mocking languages, backward throwing people. We're deeply familiar, and it's ongoing. And the predictions in the scriptures are that it's going to be more than ever. We haven't seen anything yet. If you've noticed the rise, and you know what's going on now, you and I have seen nothing in comparison to what is to come in the event level, the burst level. We've only seen the incremental frog in the kettle evolutionary approach to the Satanic Kingdom. Who I've read, who I want to engage, well, popes, number one. The history of the popes. And by the way, if you read the Gospels, if you read the book of Acts, there is no central pope, no vicar of Christ. There is no one individual that is Christ's representative on the earth. As a matter of fact, every believer in Jesus, the Word of God is consistently and overwhelmingly clear. Every believer in Christ is a representative of Christ, a witness of Christ. That is why we've been given the power of the Spirit of God to be Christ's witnesses, Christ dwelling in us, speaking through us to the world. The history of the popes, some were never believers at all, and one has to examine whether any were in the faith. I mean, not religious tradition, but born of the Spirit of God, as Jesus Christ says. Who is bigger, a pope or Christ? Who's more authoritative, a pope or Christ? Don't think that you can't read for yourself. And that's what I would say to every Roman Catholic listening. Read what Jesus considered to be of supreme authority over any traditions of men, the Word of God. Read the Gospels. I encourage you to read the book of Acts. We have a brand new study, has begun this week. The book of Acts, I call it the field manual for the end of days, though it was one of the great revelations of God in the first 30 years. No popes there. No priests there, other than the Jewish kind that got saved, the occult kind that may have gotten saved. So it's vital that we look at and are willing to, you know what, under the lordship of Jesus, under the authority of the Word of God, I'm willing to shift. Whatever it reveals, whatever it shows, whatever it speaks to me, that's why we read the Word of God, to be, at times convicted, corrected, rebuked even, and trained in righteousness, and instructed, and filled with the revelation of God. It speaks about salvation, the Savior, grace, the Holy Spirit, about Mary, about leadership, about the destiny of the church, the mission of the church, the coming of Christ, how to be a witness to the world, how to live for Jesus, what it means to be born, the new birth. Can I ask you, have you studied and do you know clearly Titus chapter 3? The new birth, knowing God personally. So let me say to the Pope, and by the way, there are many, many priests and Catholics, and even some that have written and even Facebooked me, they don't believe in this current Pope. Matter of fact, Catholics have written me to say the current pope and the regime that he brought in are New World Order in their commitments. Where is the smoke of Satan? Where is the real representation of Jesus, of the Word of God? Well, let me ask the priests about your relationship to God. You know how many priests lived as a priest for a long time? Gave it all up because it was really that God was 100 million miles away. For you, many priests and many Catholic, let me say this, 30 members have left. You know that many Catholics have become psychics, into paranormal stuff, ghost hunters. Do you know there are many Catholics that have a kind of form of godliness, a religious tradition has been passed down to them that did not lead them to personal faith in Christ, to being born of the Spirit, to have the joy of the Lord, to know the power of the Holy Spirit and feel God within, to be confident about the gift of eternal life. So I'm going to ask priests, engage, be willing. Is Christ Lord or tradition? And who will you serve? To the members of the Roman Catholic Church, or system, or the Episcopal, or the Lutheran. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Do you know Him? And by the Spirit of God, are you willing to obey all of Scripture? Regardless. Are you willing, if you are in spiritual leadership, and you find yourself coming to Christ and being born again, are you willing to stand up and shout the truth? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to throw out the doctrines of men, the traditions of men, and exchange it for the glorious, God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Let me ask the members, let me ask those who are deep in the Vatican, in the tunnels, in the archive rooms, in the underground places, those who know the secrets of the Vatican. No, I tell you what, I've read so much this week, it's incredible. The most wealthy, largest religious institution in the world also has some of the clearest, and I'm speaking and quoting Catholic writings, Catholic individuals, including ex-priests and priests and members and victims. They're the ones that are telling of the corruption of the hidden inside Luciferic group. So let me ask in point number 5, who's going to do the investigation? Who's going to look around? Who's going to learn how to, well, if you smell the smoke of Satan in the Vatican or in the Catholic system or in your local Catholic church, if you're going to examine the Word of God, examine whether you are saved even. Don't let religious tradition fool you. You can wave a flag, wear a cross, wear a robe, cut your hair in a certain way, and say 100 Hail Marys. None of that saves you. As a matter of fact, if you read the 30-year history of the Gospel or the Book of Acts or the Gospels or the rest of the New Testament, there are no Hail Marys, my friends. May I ask you clearly, when it comes to Mary, blessed Mary, praised for all these years, Mary, the mother, the vessel, the virgin. You know, Isaiah 700 years prior spoke about her. The Spirit of God came, the angel came. She was the vessel that bore the Son of God, that bore Emmanuel, and forever praised. But not in the book of Acts, the 30-year history of the church, not in the Gospels, not out of the mouth of Jesus, not one apostle, not one scripture says that we pray to her, that we go to her, that she involves herself with us. Those who are dead in Christ in heaven are waiting to come back. They do not interact with us. There is no one in the New Testament praying to the saints. There is no such thing. There is, in the book of Acts, throughout the Gospels, throughout the rest of the New Testament, there is no Mass. Now, if this is beginning to concern you, you do the study, you read the Gospel, you look at the book of Acts, you evaluate, and do not let anyone say to you, well, it really means this, or only the church leaders can interpret this. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the apostles, right under Jesus, who wrote the scriptures, ever said. Be willing to deal with cover-up, corruption, and the traditions of men. The traditions of men nullify the Word of God. You read Mark 7:13. Want another one? How about 2 Timothy 3:5? Here is the Word of God. It is possible in religious tradition, in religious garb, in religious ceremony, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Having the form of godliness. That is just simply the idea of like a morph, like, again, looking like piety, looking like devotion, looking like it, and yet not even have the living Christ dwelling within. Here are 4 issues that I want to ask you. Number 1, whatever system you are in, the body of Christ worldwide is intact. Jesus is coming for it. You can only enter it by being saved, born of the Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ, Romans chapter 12. Can you stay in the visible local church you're at? And if there is corruption, traditions of men, false doctrine, if there's encroachment of occultism, syncretism, political ideologies? Will you go in to help clear it all out so that Christ is Lord, the Word of God is supreme, and the mission of God will be served, and allow the Spirit of God, well, yes, need the Spirit of God to come and give the witness to that. Number two, will you seek change in your life? Will you be willing? Who is Lord? Not the church. The church is never called Lord. The church is never called God. The church is never said to be the Savior. Christ is Lord. Christ is God. Jesus says, you and I are to take up the cross, deny self, and follow Him, or we can't even be His disciple. Follow Christ, or be absorbed. Be willing to be taken over by religious tradition. In the end of days, by the kind of Laodicean or Sardis type local church? Is your life spiritually suppressed? Can you do the mission of God? Can you win souls? Can you pray with power? Does the Spirit of God dwell on you? Does the local fellowship that you are in represent what the real body of Christ is? Now, tomorrow on the website, I will have two short messages as you look, as you scroll down. What is the body of Christ and what is the church? Let me ask number three, though, here. Number three, will you be willing to search and root out any dark infiltration? Will you be willing? Look at the seven churches in Jesus dealing with those who allowed the teaching of the Nicolaitans, who allowed the Jezebel occult teachings. In any church, anywhere that has allowed New Age encroachment, New Age spirits, false didache that is not out of the Word of God, it all needs to be thrown out and exchanged for the glory, for the Word of God, for the presence of Jesus. The simplicity of salvation is as clear as Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Read the first four or five chapters. By faith alone in Christ are you saved. By faith alone in Christ are you cleansed. By faith alone in Christ does He come in. Well, we're at the end of the hour, and here's the music. Are you willing to be a whistleblower? Well, we're at the end of the hour. Lord's blessing to you. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, we need your prayers. We need those who want this live radio program or believe in the benefit of this work. We need to hear from you in support. God bless and good night.